Now, the title of my message today is Out on a Limb. And I am going out on a limb today for sure. So, I don't know, y'all were saying some nice things about me earlier. You might be calling the people in the white jackets to come and get me after this message. So, we'll see how it goes. This morning, I want to discuss some timing issues. You know, last week we talked about the Ezekiel War, also called the Gog-Magog War, also called the Russia-Muslim Nations War upon Israel that happens, we believe, the midway point of the tribulation. So today I want to discuss timing issues concerning the rapture of the church, the opening of the first four seals of the seven sealed scroll, and a temporary period of peace during the first 3.5 years of the 7-year-long tribulation. I think this is relevant for today. We consider just how close the rapture of the church may be to becoming reality. Okay, if you study eschatology, and most of you know by now what that means, it's just a study of the end times and prophecy. If you study that to any extent, you'll find many different theories. You'll find many different scenarios regarding how the events of the end times are going to play out. You'll see all kinds of charts and timelines representing sequences of events. If you Google end times charts and timelines, you'll see 100 different ones. Now, there's many good scholars out there who have a pretty good grasp of these kind of things. But I have to say, I've yet to see a scenario that checks all the boxes. I have yet to see one that just answers all the questions. Some will provide solutions to certain problems, and then they'll raise other questions in the process. I don't believe that anyone can say with any degree of certainty that they have it all figured out. In other words, we simply can't be dogmatic about our teachings. So today, after looking at the timing of the Ezekiel War last week, I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest an alternative interpretation that, to me at least, seems to answer the most questions and checks the most boxes about this time period. So I've got a couple of timeline slides at the end of my message that might make it easier to visualize what I'm going to talk about. But before we look at them, we'll need to do some background work. We're going to have to take a look at what we know, and I'm only talking about the first half, the beginning, and then the first half. We're not going to get into the midpoint so much. We're not going to get into the last part. I'm going to focus on that first part. We're going to look at what we know, and we're going to look at assumptions that have been made, and we're going to look at what we don't know. Okay? So the first slides is we're going to look at what we know. Okay? So the 24 elders represent the church in heaven during the time of the tribulation. Now, when I say what we know, I'm talking about basically the hundreds of pastors and scholars that are pre-trib. This is what we know. This is what we believe to be true. That these 24 elders represent the church in heaven during the time of the tribulation, and that's Revelation 4:4 is where you'll find that. I'm not going to read all the scriptures, I'm going to give you the reference. But you remember that the 24 elders, 24 is a number of representation. They are elders, they are able to sit, and they wear white, which is righteousness, and they have crowns, which would be our rewards. And if they don't represent the church, I really don't know who they do represent, because this is the first time in the visions of heaven, like Ezekiel had a vision of heaven and other prophets had visions of heaven. They weren't there, okay? It was just God and the different hierarchies of angels. But here, they're there. Elders, not angels, not God, they're elders. And so we believe they represent the church in heaven. Okay, so another thing that we know is that the rapture occurs before the tribulation begins. Why? How do we know that? Because when John's caught up and he's looking at this scene, there the elders are already there before the tribulation starts. We also know that the rapture occurs before the opening of the first seal. Again, because he's there. That's Revelation 5, 8 and 9. John sees the church there. We also know that the peace treaty, which is brokered by the Antichrist, begins the countdown of the seven-year tribulation period. And that's Daniel 9:27. A lot of this comes from Daniel 9:27. We get a lot of facts from that passage. Okay, that's another one. Let me repeat that. The peace treaty, which is brokered by the Antichrist, begins the countdown of the seven-year tribulation period. We do know that. Okay, we also know that the abomination of desolation, which is setting up of an idol in the Holy of Holies, occurs in the middle of the seven-year period. Get that from Daniel 9:27. Let me go to the next slide. There we go. Sorry. There you go. So we know that. That's Daniel 9:27. We know about the abomination of desolation. And then we also know that the Jews will have a temple and they'll be making sacrifices and offerings during the 3.5 years. Also, Daniel 9:27. And one more thing. I think I have one more. Yeah, here we go. Just prior to the Ezekiel war, Israel will be dwelling safely with no walls or barriers to protect them. They will have a feeling of total security. Now, that's from Ezekiel 38, 8, and 11. Now, this is amazing. That knowing this, that when all these countries come down on them, it's going to be a surprise attack. Israel's going to be defenseless. I mean, it's hard to believe. And I would ask myself, what in the world could make them feel so protected? And we'll answer that in a little bit. Let's look at now assumptions. These are assumptions that people just always assume, but there's no real facts to back them up. Assumption number one, that the rapture begins right before the start of the tribulation period. We don't know that. We don't know if it begins right before. We don't know if it's 3 years before. We don't know if it could be 10 years before. We just simply don't know because scriptures doesn't tell us that. And here's a big one. The first seal being opened begins the tribulation period. We don't really know that either. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get the thing in there. There we go. Okay. We don't know that. I mean, we've always assumed it. We've always thought it. But the only thing we know is that it's the signing of the treaty that starts the 7 years. Okay. So what's the third thing? The Antichrist conquers using diplomacy because of the word bow with no arrows mentioned. Now, I've preached that myself because I've read about it and I've studied it, and a lot of great scholars will tell you that the Antichrist conquers through diplomacy because the word bow and there's no arrows. But I got to thinking about that. And I thought, you know what? If I was going to go to the archery range and I called Jimmy up and said, hey, let's go to the archery, bring your bow. Is he going to bring his bow with no arrows? Or if I say, hey, let's go shooting, bring your gun. Is he going to bring his gun with no bullets? No, it's understood. Okay? So I think that is an assumption. It's not a fact, it's an assumption. They could be right, or they could be wrong. It could mean that bow, I mean, it would be kind of weird to say that he has a bow and arrows. Arrows is understood. So it could be diplomacy, but it could be that he's going to have an army, and he's actually going to go out, it says conquer. Then right after that is what? The Red Horse of War. That's interesting. And then the last assumption that we have here is that the opening of the first four seals takes place during the first half of the tribulation period. We don't know that. We don't really know that for sure. I've seen it different ways, looking at different timelines. So let's look at it and try to come up with something that answers the most questions, okay? Now let's look finally at what we don't know. What we don't know. All right, I think I have all five there. We don't know how much time is going to elapse between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation. Remember, we assume, people assume that one leads to the other. We don't know. We don't know for sure whether or not the opening of that first seal coincides with the beginning of the tribulation period. We've just always assumed it, but we don't know that. We don't know that the Antichrist will conquer by diplomacy. Like I said, he may do it militarily. And we don't know the timing of the first four seals. There's so many different possibilities there. We also, the last thing down here at the bottom, we don't know the exact timing of that war. We think it's at the midpoint, but we don't really know. Okay, so now let's look at the first timeline. This was a very, very basic timeline. Okay, you've got the peace treaty, which starts, sears your 7 years. First 3.5 years, second 3.5 years. Here's the treaty. We do know for sure that's what starts it. Here's where Jesus talked about the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel, right in the middle where it's broken. We know that in here there's going to be a temple. There has to be a temple because the Antichrist stops the sacrifices and the offerings. So there has to be something to stop. So we know that there's going to be a temple in there. So that's about all this one talks about. Now the next one here, notice that it says, when is the temple rebuilt? There it's got the abomination halfway. Now this one, you see, it's got the rapture right before the start. This timeline does. Like I say, they're all different. But look at this. Peace for 3.5 years. Okay. Now, J. Vernon McGee kind of agrees with that. I think Mark Hitchcock, who's a really good scholar, he agrees with that, okay? And the reason that they believe that there's going to be peace, and we've talked about this before, is that the Jewish people are totally secure. They believe they're just fine. They don't think they're in any danger at all. And the only thing we can come up with is that they think the Antichrist is their Messiah. And they think they're actually in the millennial kingdom. They think they've actually started the 1,000 years. And they don't know any different until that midpoint when the Antichrist turns. Now, I talked to you about how there's different theories. I want to read to you something. This is interesting. I have a complete set of J. Vernon McGee's books, all of them. And in his commentary on Revelation, he says, talking about the first horseman coming on a white horse, which is the Antichrist, he says that he brings peace to the earth, but it's not going to be permanent. This is a short-lived peace. Immediately after the white horse goes forth, here comes the red horse of war on the earth. Okay? Immediately after, here comes the next horse, which is war. But this is what he said in his commentary on Ezekiel about the war that we studied last week. He says, when Israel is back in the land, they'll be under the domination of the Antichrist, who will make them believe that peace has come to the earth, and all the problems of the earth are settled, and they are entering the millennium. But this is not true, and they will find in the middle of the tribulation period that out of the north will come their enemy, Russia. So in this commentary, he's saying they're going to have peace clear to the middle of the period. And on the other one, he said that it's going to be very short-lived, and right away the second horse is going to rise. So he basically is contradicting himself. So I got one more slide. Okay. Here's one here. Again, you have 3.5 years. They've got the trumpets and the bowl should be there somewhere. But notice that during his 3.5 years, what do you see? Seven seals. Seven seals during the first 3.5 years. So I have a question. How can you have wars during a time of peace? Here's the issue. Some scholars agree that for Israel to be safe and secure, for them to let their guard down after they've been attacked over and over for 73 years, they're going to have to think, like I said, that they're in a millennial kingdom. The only way they could reach that is that they've signed this peace treaty with whom they think is their Messiah. Okay? So they're mistaking the Antichrist for their Messiah. Now, we know that from Daniel 9:27 that this treaty is not broken until the midpoint of the tribulation, or 3.5 years. So it's reasonable to believe that the first half of this 7-year period, there are no wars whatsoever. And we know from Scripture that the real millennium will be peaceful for 1,000 years. There won't be war till the very end. And the Jewish people know their Scriptures. They know this. So they're thinking there's not going to be any wars for 1,000 years. And so it makes sense that there would be 3.5 years of peace. So where in the world, when are these seals broken? That's the question. When are the seals broken? If you will turn to the book of Revelation, let's look at these seals. Chapter 6, the very first verses of chapter 6, 1 through 8. We're going to read these first four seals. Revelation chapter 6. Now I say, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. And then when he opened the third seal, I saw the third living creature say, "Come and see." And so I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." And so here, what he's talking about here is great, great famine. This is the horse of famine. And then the fourth seal, when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." And so I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death. Okay. Now, the first four seals involve these four horsemen riding out. The first one's on a white horse, and most people think that this is the Antichrist. The question is he a diplomat or is he a warrior? Okay, that's a big question. Does he conquer by fancy words and convincing and deceiving people, or does he conquer by leading an army? Does he conquer physically? The second horse is a red horse, symbolizing war. Now the next two, the horse of famine, the pale horse of death, they naturally follow because these are after effects of war. After war, you have these. So the breaking of the second seal leads to the horse of famine, which leads to the horse of death. So why shouldn't the first seal lead to the second seal? If the second seal leads to the third, which leads to the fourth, why doesn't the first one lead to the second one? So the Antichrist goes out conquering and to conquer with some kind of weapon. And then we have war on the earth, strong enough to cause widespread famine and death. So again, how can all this be going on during a 3.5-year peaceful period? It is so peaceful that it fools the Jews into thinking they're in the millennium and they have nothing to worry about. So I think we need to make an adjustment to the timeline. What I'm about to propose will conflict with some assumptions, but they will agree with certain things that we know. Okay, the Antichrist imitates Christ. His plan is to fool the Jews into thinking that he's their Messiah. So the opening of the first seal has to do with him leading an army, conquering and to conquer. His bow may be some kind of modern weapon that gives him an advantage, or it could be his army. He may stir up enough trouble and start so many wars that the world may think that Armageddon is upon them. And the Jews would certainly know that Armageddon precedes the millennium. So it could be that the second seal, the red horse of war, is a false Armageddon. Then the Antichrist proposes a peace plan that solves the problems that he himself created. Now, the rapture of the church, which happens before this, may be the springboard for all of this. Because when the rapture occurs, chaos is going to ensue. Planes and cars are going to crash. Businesses are going to fold. Stock markets are going to plunge. Countries are going to be decimated because of the percentage of Christians that they might have. The Antichrist will use this crisis to provoke wars, and nations are going to scramble for power. Then he's going to convince the world that he's the only one who has the answer to all these problems. It is at this point that all those desperate countries will put their trust in him, including Israel. And they're going to sign an agreement, a covenant, a treaty with other nations. And then this marks the beginning of the seven-year period called the tribulation. So I believe, based on this, that the first and second seals are opened after the rapture, but actually before the start of the tribulation. Now, the third and fourth seals, which are after effects of war, they could overlap. I mean, that could extend on into the tribulation. Okay, so now some people might ask, okay, if the first 3.5 years are peaceful, then why is it called the time of tribulation? Because of the fifth seal. Let's look at that fifth seal. Let's look at that fifth seal. This is verse 9, where we were reading before, chapter 6, verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Okay. So, many are going to be martyred as a result of their faith in the real Christ. They're going to be hunted down, and they're going to be executed as enemies of the state. These are the people who figure out what happened. They've had people talk about the rapture. They've had family and friends that were raptured, and they know what happened, and they accept Christ, and they won't give up their belief. They won't give up their faith. They'll gladly give up their lives, and so they're executed. Now, the Jews are not going to be surprised by this, because the scriptures talk about the Messiah is going to rule with a rod of iron. And these Christians are going to be anathema to everybody. Everybody's going to hate them. And they're going to be told, the media or whoever else is going to tell them that these people are terrible. And so people think, well, they're getting what they deserve. And remember that the Jews at this time are not Christians. They're just following a false Messiah. And so there's going to be peace in the sense that there won't be wars and battles going on. But the Christians are going to be persecuted and killed. Now, this theory does help solve some inconsistency, but I admit it flies in the face of standard teaching. But if it's true, then that means that the time gap between the rapture of the church and the signing of the treaty is even bigger than we thought, longer than we thought. Could be 5 to 10 years. And if that's the case, it's all the more reason for us to have a feeling of urgency. We need to switch from being complacent to being zealous for the spreading of the gospel for a lost and dying world. So in closing, I want to include a quote from the late, great Jack Kelly, one of my favorite prophecy scholars. And whenever I'd read one of his articles or read a book that he had written, he always ended them all the same way. This is what he'd say. You can almost hear the footsteps of the Messiah. Let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Lord, your Holy Spirit reveals a lot of things to us, to those that ask questions. How can this be? How can that be? And you just give us a little bit at a time. But the bottom line is, Lord, as the cartoon character Snuffy Smith used to say, time's a-wastin'. Time's a-wastin'. With each passing day, with each passing hour, we're that much closer to the rapture of your wonderful church, dear Lord. To that time when you're going to tell your son, go get him. And that's wonderful to know. It's wonderful to know that we're secure and we can't wait for that. But at the same time, we have people that we need to reach, dear Lord. And the message today just underscores the fact that the rapture may be even earlier than we thought. May we be able to speak to a lost and dying world, and may we be able to answer the questions they have about the end times, as with each passing day, the headlines seem to indicate that we're closer and closer. Lord, be with us today, watch over us for the rest of this day, and bless us, and give us a hunger for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.